Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 5, I Was a Human Salad Spinner, September 11th, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. That's yarns, ATYINHOO.com. I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page or joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. I welcome your suggestions and comments. This week, I heard from new listeners Val Sue, Sidwina, Halsey Yarn, who has a podcast, You University, Heather Gale, my first listener from the UK, welcome, and Julie. This week, I had my first review on iTunes. It was from Ottermaid. Thank you so much for the review and the 5 stars. Zemi reported listening to all 4 episodes today while she was knitting and spinning on a new spindle. I can't wait to hear about this new spindle. Today's episode features segments titled Double Happiness, Yarn Lover at Large, The Back Porch, and The Front Porch. I hope you enjoy the show. Well, double happiness this week is a knitting in public story. There's nothing like being able to knit at a great outdoor event. And every year, the weekend after Labor Day in the Delaware Water Gap is the annual jazz festival. We've had some crummy weather in past years, and we've ended up listening to a lot of music under the tent behind the stage. But this year, the weather was gorgeous, early September weather. It was sunny, it was clear, there was a slight breeze, the nights got a little crisp and cool, and everyone was just having a great time sitting on the lawn, listening to jazz. Whenever I attend an outdoor event where folks are sitting around, especially listening to music, I always scan the crowd for knitters. And in the past years, I have seen a few women knitting as they listen to the jazz, but this year, I think I might have been the only one knitting. I brought 2 projects to work on. I thought very carefully about which projects to bring, and I decided on the Sockhead Hat by Kelly McClure and the Urban Lace Infinity Scarf by Tanis Gray. And I knit on these alternatively over the course of the weekend. I tried to pick patterns that were very easy so I could have a conversation and listen to the jazz while I was knitting. I'm a relatively new knitter, so I was practicing taking my eyes off my knitting occasionally, but a lot of the time I was looking at my knitting. The Sockhead Hat by Kelly McClure is a free pattern. It's a great pattern for 1 skein of sock yarn, and I was using Lonesome Stone Mountain Feet in the Glacier's Edge colorway. This is 100% merino, and I would not be so inclined to use that for socks. So this is a great alternative pattern. The pattern called for US 2 needles, and I decided on US 3. Instead of casting on 144 stitches, I cast on 132 stitches. This hat is intended for a man, so I'm hoping my cast-on method and the larger size needles will make it nice and stretchy. New to me was the very stretchy cast-on, and I used a method in a video tutorial on YouTube by Tilly Buddy. I will link to the video in the show notes. And it creates a lovely stretchy cast-on, which looks like a ruffle at first. I was very tempted to take it out, but the video mentioned that it does look a little bit messy or sloppy at the beginning and to give it a chance. So I continued with my knit two, purl two ribbing. I'm now about 5 inches into the ribbing. I intend to do 9 inches or so of ribbing. And it looks great. It looks very stretchy. And the size 3 needles make it knit up very nice. The 100% merino sock yarn is pretty fluffy in texture. It's not a thin, coarse sock yarn like some that I've worked with. So I think the needle size is accommodating the yarn well. And I look forward to working on this hat. I think it's going to be the kind of thing that I take along for mindless knitting in social situations, in the car, maybe something that I won't finish right away. The other project I worked on and I finished all of the knitting on was the Urban Lace Infinity Scarf. It's a free pattern on Ravelry. It's by Tanis Gray. I used some yarn that I received from the Blue Pearl when I participated in the New Jersey Yarn Crawl earlier in the spring. It's Cascade 220 Casablanca. It's a mixture of wool, silk, and mohair. It's a single ply. It's very similar to some Noro yarns, and it has a great color scheme. Blues, deep reds, and a flaming orange. I think most people who have used this color are calling the colorway Campfire, but I didn't see that Campfire name on the yarn package that I have. My resulting scarf is 54 inches long, and it's intended to be secured end to end using the Kitchener stitch like you would use to close socks. So I still have that part left to do. I used bamboo needles in US size 8. The Urban Lace Infinity Scarf seems like a great pattern for a single skein of worsted yarn that has really nice color changes throughout. It has a wave looking pattern and a little bit of eyelet. There's one lace row in 8. It's very easy to memorize, very easy for social situations where you'd like some mindless knitting, and I think it will knit up to be a really spectacular gift. The end product is a long cowl that can be worn once just hanging over the neck, or it can be looped around for a little bit of a warmer feel. I suspect that I might be using the same pattern with a few different yarns in my stash to knit up for quick holiday gifts. In addition to all of the jazz at the Jazz Fest, there is a little street full of vendors, and folks sell art, jewelry. They're all local craftspeople, and they sell a variety of things, often music themed or locally sourced. I met a wonderful lady. Her name is Constance Falks, and she has the Locust Lawn Farm in Bangor, PA, which is only a few miles from Delaware Water Gap. She didn't have a website on the business card she gave me, but she talked about spinning some yarn, and she had some yarn that was dyed with natural plant dyes. One amazing, vibrant yellow yarn was dyed with goldenrod. She has apparently a friend living in the area who works on the dyeing, and she keeps a variety of animals and spins the wool that she gets from them. I'm hoping to talk with her further at some point in the future and maybe check out her farm or do some spinning with her. So that was another great thing about the Jazz Festival this week. I think that's triple or quadruple happiness by now, so I'm going to move on to the next segment. Yarn lover at large. Thursday, before the Jazz Festival, I attended a workshop at Mountain Knits and Purls, my local yarn shop in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. The class was given by Laura Nelkin. She is very well known for her knitted beaded jewelry, and this class was on the Mudra Cuff. Laura is a very fun teacher to work with. I think she is the Sarah Silverman of knitting. I was thinking about this as I was listening to her at the beginning of the class, and something about her manner and her instruction reminded me of something. And I spent the greater part of the class trying to figure out what it was, and my mind was distracted by it. And then finally, about an hour and a half into the class, I thought, yeah, she's the Sarah Silverman of knitting. She's funny. She's engaging. She tries to get everyone involved, no matter what level of knitting. There were 9 of us in the class, and we were at a very wide variety of ability and experience, and she had us all in the palm of her hand the whole time. Now, she didn't tell the level of raunchy jokes or anything that Sarah Silverman does. I don't want to give the wrong idea, but I enjoyed her, and I enjoyed her manner of expression and her engaging way of teaching the class in the same way I like to listen to Sarah Silverman. I hope Laura Nelkin doesn't mind that I say that. This was my first time using double-pointed needles, and sometimes I felt a little bit silly because I didn't realize some things about double-pointed needles. I was ready to transfer stitches from my left needle to my right needle in making I-cord. And then Zemi, who was sitting next to me, said, oh no, you just slide them over like this. And it was the biggest aha moment, and I felt really giddy about it and really silly. I-cord is a cord that you can make by continuing to knit the same 3 stitches or same 4 stitches without turning your work. And in this case, with the mudra cuff, you gradually slide beads into that work, and then the beads are sort of embedded into this I-cord, and it's lovely. There's a photograph of the bracelet that I made on my website, so you can check it out. With this pattern, we strung beads on in a particular pattern, a certain number of smaller beads, a larger bead, a certain number of smaller beads, in a very particular order. So they were all on the yarn before we started knitting. And we tied the yarn onto a clasp with 3 sets of little rings so that there are 3 I-cords with beads going around the bracelet, which makes a beautiful cuff. It's nice and dense without being too heavy. I think also this would be a great gift. I envision myself making quite a few of these. In fact, today I stopped at Mountain Knits and Pearls to pick up a few supplies, and I bought some extra beads because I'd like to experiment with some of the techniques that I learned in the class. This mudra cuff and knitted jewelry in general is also a great idea to use small bits of hand-spun yarn. The yarn just needs to be strong enough to withstand stringing on of beads and then sliding of beads across the yarn as you work them into your project. I think we used 12 yards of yarn to make this triplicate cuff, and so it doesn't take very much yarn at all to make a really nice piece of jewelry. And it's a great way to experiment with little pieces of handspun that you might have, just trying a particular fiber, or you might have some handspun that's left over from another project. It's also a great way to use recycled and found beads. For example, if you dismantle an old piece of jewelry and you have some beads that you'd like to showcase, but you're not quite sure what to do with them, this would be a great project to use for that. Laura Nelkin is the founder of Nelkin Designs, and she writes a blog. The class that she taught on Thursday, the Mudra Cuff class, was the first of several classes over a long weekend of knitting that took her, I think, to 3 different locations. And she blogged about her whole weekend's experience today. She put it up on her blog. So I will link that in the show notes, and you can see her adventures in teaching the various classes, a photograph of all of us at Mountain Knits and Pearls with holding up our jewelry in various states of completion, and some other photographs from her trip. The class was 3 hours long. I enjoyed every minute of it. I was able to knit and socialize and learn new things at the same time, which I take as a tribute to Laura's teaching. I completed 2 strands of the 3 for the mudra cuff, and I couldn't stop. When I got home, I had to complete the bracelet before I did anything else. So it's done. It's already been gifted to my friend Joy, and I know I will be making a few more of these for the holidays. On the back porch this week is my intentional spinning for Stephen West's Batad Capelet. It took me about 2 weeks to spin my mixed BFL, that's mixed blue-faced Lester, and I had a question about this from one of my listeners about BFL. Blue-faced Lester is a variety of sheep. It's a nice, sturdy wool and excellent for beginning spinners because it has a long staple length, 3 to sometimes 5 inches. So it gives you a lot of time to get control over your fiber as you're spinning it. I like it. I like the sturdiness of it, and I like the way it takes color. In this case, mixed BFL means that the fiber was partly white or light colored fiber from Blue Face Lester, and also dark colored fiber from Blue Face Lester. And it, when it's dyed, some of the fibers absorb more of the color, more of the dye, and some of the fibers absorb less, or sometimes none at all. And so you get this nice heathered look to the yarn that you're spinning. The colorway from BZB Fibers was Country Cottage, and it was a mix of really lovely autumnal colors, greens, reds, rust color, a little bit of deep purple. I separated the fiber in half. I spun half of the fiber onto one bobbin, and then I separated the other half 4 more times, and then I spun that end to end to end on another bobbin, and I plied those two together. So sometimes there is a little bit of barber pulling where two different colors twist together in the yarn, and sometimes the twist is very similar colors of fiber being twisted together. I was spinning intentionally thin in order to get a fingering weight yarn for this batad pattern that I wanted to knit, and I was looking for a 2-ply fingering. I think my resulting yarn is a bit more of a sport weight. However, I did get 447 yards out of 4 ounces, which is the most yardage I've ever been able to get out of 4 ounces of fiber. Overall, I was trying to be very patient as I spun this yarn, trying to keep a consistent thickness to both the single plies and to the plied yarn. One of the things that I practiced was a method of being very deliberate and counting while I was plying. And I was counting the number of times I stepped on the treadle with my right foot. I have a Louette double treadle spinning wheel. And so I use both feet to treadle while I spin the yarn and while I ply the yarn. While I was plying, I counted to 8 before I let the bobbin take up the finished yarn and let the twist go into another section of yarn. And I tried to keep that count and keep very consistent plying throughout. The yarn is more or less a consistent twist. I learned about wraps per inch and twists per inch in terms of figuring out what kind of yarn you have when you're done. And I had wraps per inch before I washed the yarn that gave me a fingering weight yarn, about 16 to 18 wraps per inch. However, after I washed the yarn, it got a little bit fluffier, and I think my resulting wraps per inch is more like 14. And my twists per inch is 3 to 4 twists per inch. 4 is for a fingering weight yarn. So I was in the ballpark, but my yardage was enough to work on the batad. So overall, I'm happy with my intentional spinning. After I soaked the yarn, I needed to get as much of the water out as possible and then hang it to dry with a little bit of weight so that the twist would all come out of it and it would be a nice balanced yarn. Since I took my beginning spinning class in March and then we experienced a rather cold spring, it was frigid on Memorial Day even, I didn't have a chance to try out one of the methods that Betty, my teacher, had talked about in my beginning spinning class. I forgot all about it. In my advanced spinning class that I took just a few weeks ago, someone mentioned that they used a salad spinner to spin all of the water out of their yarn before they hung it to dry. Some people also put it on the spin cycle in their washing machine, depending on what kind of washing machine they have. We don't have a lot of appliances, and we don't have a washing machine or a salad spinner at Yinhu. And I had totally forgotten about a method that Betty reminded me of when I had my advanced spinning class, which is to go outside and take your finished skein of yarn that's kind of soaking wet. You've squeezed some of the water out of it, but you don't want to keep squeezing and twisting it because you'll really damage the yarn. So you go outside and you put the yarn around your wrist and you swing it and you use centrifugal force to swing as much water out of your yarn as possible. I can't tell you how much fun it was to spin all of the water out of this yarn. By the time I got done spinning, because I was having so much fun listening to the whoosh of all the water hitting the leaves of my hostas as I was spinning it out, there was almost no moisture left in my yarn, and I was able to hang it dry, and it dried very quickly. Well, the Batad Capelet by Stephen West is truly on my front porch now, because this afternoon I visited Mountain Knits and Purls to pick out the yarn for the welts in the pattern. I decided I would spin one of the yarns that was required for the pattern and purchase the other so that I could get started rather quickly. And Joanne of Mountain Knits and Purls helped me pick out my contrasting yarn for the welts this afternoon. Joanne is such a patient shop owner because you can tell her what you need and she very carefully takes you around the shop and shows you all of the things and gives you as much time as you need to look them over and feel everything you want to feel and compare as much as you want to compare before you make your purchase. I decided on Barocco Ultra Light Alpaca. It's in the peat colorway, and it's very close to an acid green. This is the color I had been thinking of as a contrast color as I was spinning, but I didn't necessarily expect to find that color when I went to the shop. Joanne took me straight over to Barocco Ultra Paco Light, and we picked out three possibilities. One was the green, another was a red, and the third was a deep plum color. They were all represented in my hand spun, but in going over them and getting Zemi's opinion also, because she was visiting the shop at the same time, I got to consider all three yarns and get some second opinions, and I decided to go with the peat colorway. I bought three skeins, and I also purchased size 5, US size 5 needles. The pattern calls for US 4, circular needles, but it also calls for fingering weight yarn. And since my yarn was a little bit thicker than I initially intended, and the suggested needle size for the Barocco Ultralight Alpaca was US size 5, I decided to go with the US size 5 needles. I can't wait to wind up my yarn and get started on this project. Another set of projects that's on my front porch are hats. I intend to do some hat knitting for Christmas gifts this year, and Diane from the Knittables video podcast is hosting a knit along for hats in October. My plan is to get as far as I can on the batad during September so that I can cast on a bunch of hats for October. Finally, on my front porch is an MCAL or mystery knit along. This is a tradition of knitters and something that's very popular on Ravelry because people from all around the country and all around the globe can participate in the same knitting. And sometimes the designers let out their patterns in increments or sometimes all at once. But the idea is that you don't know very much about your resulting product until you get the directions. Laura Nelkin mentioned mystery knit-alongs during our class because she does quite a few of them with jewelry patterns, and I stated that I was a little too type A for mystery knit-alongs. I wanted control over my knitting, and I was hesitant to invest a lot of time into something that I didn't know exactly what it would be or how it would turn out. Then I started reflecting on the podcast I had just recorded about setting aside your pride and engaging in some humble thinking and humble behavior in order to learn something new. And upon much deep reflection, I decided that a mystery knit along really needs to be in my future. There's a mystery knit along I know about that will happen in December, and I think I'm bound now to eat my words and take part in this mystery knit along and see if I can learn a thing or two about myself and about my knitting practice. Our quote this week is by Albert Camus and is brought courtesy of Goodreads. Autumn is a second spring when every leaf is a flower. Thank you for listening. The music in today's episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a sweet nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.